Thanks, Jonathan. So everyone, welcome to the 70th meeting. It's 5 November at 11:05 UTC. We've started the recording. Is there anyone who's on the audio line who is not in Adobe Connect at this point? Okay. Jonathan, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Welcome, everyone. I will chair today's call, and we have apologies from Lisa. She may be able to join us later in the call, but is not available right now. We obviously last met at ICANN 54 in Dublin, those of you who were present and those of you who were able to join us over the Adobe Connect or telephone. It's our intention to schedule meetings every 2 weeks from now on, but not necessarily to run them. It's not in our interest to run the meetings if there isn't business to conduct, and we won't do so. But we will, in order to secure the space in all of our respective diaries, we will book those in and do so. What strikes me right this minute is that this call has a relatively low attendance, which is a concern. We need to think about the time, and I'll talk to Lisa and staff about that. We don't seem to have benefited from the very early time, I guess, from a west of where I am, from a sort of UTC perspective, and we don't seem to have pulled in significant participants east. So we need to think about this and see whether there's a better time slot. Our intention currently is to continue with the 11 and 17 UTC. But like I say, we're looking at the participation and involvement here at 11. It's bad to terrible from a sort of North and South American type perspective. It should be better from an Asian, Eastern Europe through to Asia perspective, but it doesn't seem to have brought in significant participation from there. So we need to think about that, look at our participant list and see what how we do that. And if, that's a good point, Sabine. Thank you. There is a clash going on as well. And so we'll just bear that in mind, but we'll schedule the meetings and then keep an eye on that. The point being that we've got a clash with IETF, IGF, And so, yes, Olivia got that as well from Olivia and Sabine. All right, so item two, and we'll work through this as efficiently as we can. Again, we there's no need to take more of your time than necessary, is to pick up on the implementation issues here. We talked about this as a group in Dublin, and we met with and heard from the ICANN staff who will be essentially executing on the preparation for implementation and ultimately the implementation. As you perhaps recall or know, that team is headed by Akram Atallah, who is supported by Trang and members of her project management team. So one of the questions that's existed in either implicitly or explicitly for some time is the role of the CWG in implementation. And I think that's interestingly, having not addressed it absolutely explicitly, although we have talked to it and through it on a couple of occasions, it's become clear that at least to the chairs, and I guess that's what we want to make sure we re-articulated with the group and made sure the group was comfortable with that, is that our belief and understanding is that we have a role in implementation, and that role is to ensure that the implementation work is consistent with our proposal and to provide input on the staff work on implementation as and when it's required or when it's necessary to bring it back in line with our intent in the proposal. So having said that, it feels like the most logical option is, rather than attempting to sort of disband the CWG and reconvene an implementation team of some sort, it feels logical to us to continue with the work or with the CWG in its current form and to use the CWG to essentially monitor the implementation and provide input where necessary and ensure it's consistent with the proposal. Our charter doesn't say anything on this. It's essentially silent. So in order to do that, we really need, we believe as chairs that we need two things. First, we need to make sure that no one from the CWG has concerns about that or objections. And second, we need to communicate that to the chartering organizations and let them know that this is our interpretation and intent and make sure that that doesn't cause any concerns. So our intention is to check this with you, the group, and I'll think, given the attendance and so on, I will recheck this with the group at the next meeting, or Lisa will, depending on who's in the chair at the time. And second, we will immediately go ahead to draft a letter that in preparation to send to the chartering organizations indicating our intention. And I expect we'll copy that to the ICG as well, because at some point there was also a question over quite how hands-on the ICG will be on implementation. I think with conversations historically and in most recently in Dublin and some of the public comment that the ICG has made, it's all becoming clearer, and that's our plan. And so thirdly, the third action that needs to take place is we need to get the sign-off from this group, or at least the lack of objection to that role. We need to communicate with the chartering organizations, and we need to make sure that the Akram, Trang, and team are aware that this is our intention. I think they are, but I think we should formally notify them and make sure that they, frankly, are in a position to update us regularly on their work on implementation so we can play that role effectively. We can undertake that role effectively. So those are the key sort of overarching points on implementation. Yes, and so, Jaap, to your point, I think a written proposal as such, it's really more of a formal and clear communication of our intent, and providing there are no objections, we will simply continue with that. If there are concerns, questions, or indeed objections, we'll have to deal with those as they come. But in the first instance, I think our intention is to simply communicate clearly to the chartering organizations our intent and probably a little on the rationale for that, and then leave it at that. Olivier, you have a question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. On the topic of asking the SOs and ACs, so the chartering organizations, do you expect this correspondence to be a case of, well, do you, this is what we're doing, do you object to that, or would you actually require affirmative action from those chartering organizations and them re-chartering the group or extending the group or having to commit to some formal process to get the group to go towards implementation?
Thanks, Olivia. It's a good question, and it goes to its effective point. What Lisa and I have discussed and our intention at present, which is what I'm effectively seeking support of the group to do, is to undertake that oversight role on implementation and indeed to simply communicate that intention to the chartering organizations. I think it's probably unnecessary to seek permission in the sense of making it an open-ended question. I think it's more efficient to say, this is our intention, please let us know if you have any questions, concerns, or issues arising, and if not, we will take silence as non-objection. I think that's probably the most efficient, given the sort of stretched community resources, given the apparent logic of doing this work, and so on. So that's where we stand as co-chairs at this stage. Okay. So thanks for that point. I think if there are, would anyone else like to ask any questions or comments on that? If not, I think we'll go straight on to the work of DTO, which is picking up on the budget-related work. All right, thanks for your support, those of you who've indicated for that work on implementation, including Paul in the chat. Let's pass over then to Chuck, who is the sort of team lead on DTO. I think DTO had the opportunity to have a first meeting. So, Chuck, if you could give us a sort of update and a direction of travel, I think that would be useful, even if there isn't a lot to report at this stage.
Thanks, Jonathan. Chuck speaking. First of all, let me very quickly remind people what the ICANN operating plan and budget process is. It's the same as pretty much as what happened last year. And so what's happening, the budget process, the operating plan and budget process has already been kicked off. A meeting was held, just a planning meeting was held in Dublin. A key date, the first key date in that process is January 15th. That is when ICANN management will finalize the assumptions it will use on the transition of the IANA functions of PTI. So the better assumptions they have on January 15th, the more effective, the more accurate the draft budget will be. So on January 15th, that's when they will finalize the assumptions, at least at that point in time, for the fiscal year 17 budget, which starts on July 1st. So Design Team O has been reactivated, and we had our first new meeting yesterday, met for about an hour and a half yesterday. I think it was a very productive meeting. And the purpose of Design Team O is to serve as a facilitator between the full CWG and the ICANN finance and implementation teams to try and facilitate a common understanding of what the assumptions are for the implementation of PTI in particular, so that in the development of the draft budget that will be posted for public comment on March 5th, that will be as close to what will happen as is reasonably possible, understanding that we know that changes may still occur, so it's not as if things have to be locked in by January 15th, but the better we understand the assumptions upon which the budget will be built, the more accurate and usable will be the draft budget that goes out for public comment. So our role then, to bring it down to where we're at right now, is to work with the ICANN finance team and Trang and the implementation team to work on those assumptions and then to test those assumptions with the full CWG. So the Design Team O is not intending to make any decisions of its own, but we will try and facilitate an understanding of the assumptions with the full CWG. Now, in that regard, what we have targeted is to try to 2 weeks from now, which would fit into the next possible CWG meeting, is to have a base set of assumptions that staff proposes for the implementation of PTI and to communicate those to the full CWG to see if there are any concerns, if there is consensus, in terms of the assumptions being used in, with regard to the fact that they do represent and fulfill the intent of the CWG recommendations for the transition. And then we will, between now and the end of the year or very early in January then, try and reach consensus in the CWG as to the assumptions so that come January 15th then, staff has a an assurance that the assumptions they are using to build the PTI budget that'll be a part of the overall ICANN budget are as close to what will eventually happen as reasonably possible at that point in time. So let me stop there and see if there are any questions. We have at least two people from Design Team O on the call, Cheryl and Olivier. So if they want to add anything, I certainly encourage them to do so, as they were a part of our meeting yesterday as well.
Thanks, Chuck. Likewise, I'd encourage any other input, and I see Olivier is ready to do so, and Cheryl notes that you've covered things well. And just for the record, I'll note that I hadn't noticed earlier that Trang had joined us, so thank you, Trang, from ICANN's staff, who is key to project managing and overseeing the implementation work. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Olivier Crépin of Blanc speaking. And I just wanted to thank Chuck for the update. He covered, I think, nearly everything. I just wanted to emphasize one thing, though. We did spend a significant amount of time yesterday discussing the level of granularity that would be needed for these accounts and for this budget. And I think it was well understood that with a number of unknown unknowns, some of the detail, if you want, will not be possible because it's just taking figures out of a hat, effectively. So what one would be looking at in some cases to really have the belief about a ballpark figure for some of the items and not be able to itemize any further if one was to be able to have something that holds well together. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Olivier, for pointing that out. Let me be clear that the intent between now and January 15th isn't to actually provide financial details, cost estimates, and so forth. What it is to make sure that there is consensus from the CWG in terms of the assumptions that will be used to develop the estimate of costs for the fiscal year 17 budget. So, and Olivier is very right, we're not going to be able to get down into a fine detail in terms of the assumptions, but we will try in working with staff to have as high a level as reasonable set of assumptions so that the CWG can confirm that, in fact, those are consistent with our recommendations, and if not, come up with alternative assumptions that would better fit the recommendations we made if that is needed. So thanks for pointing that out, Olivier.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions? I suppose there's one other point that I would think of. There's a line to be walked here between doing all of the best possible preparation, given especially the timescales involved, and not actually getting on with the implementation prior to the approval of the transition itself. So that's another line that's got to be worked, but it's walked. It seems we're in good shape to do that. We've got the links with the finance team. The key from our point of view will be to make sure that the overall project management is in a single place, which I think it is with Trang, and making sure that we are plugged into the implementation work as it goes, and as stated at the top of the item, provide input where required or necessary, and course corrections where appropriate. Good. So let's move on then to the next item, which is to get a very early update on the work on the DT-IPR, which has really just kicked off. I think we hoped we might be able to get it going a little sooner, but inevitably there's a period after and the intensity of an ICANN meeting where there's a bit of regrouping or time off or whatever. So let's we've got a group of volunteers for that group, and I think we have a volunteer in Greg to take a lead role on the coordination of that group. I don't think the group has had the opportunity to meet yet. Maybe a meeting is planned. Is there any? And of course, we have a draft remit for that group, talking about the principles and requirements for the home of the IANA IPR. So there's in a sense a charter for that group, to the extent that we would call it a charter. There's a group of volunteers and there's a team lead. Have I missed anything? Would anyone from staff or that DT-IPR fledgling as it is like to make any comment or input? Greg, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Greg Shatton, for the record. Seems that nobody else has volunteered to be team lead, so I'm it. I'm happy to do so. I think our first order of business will be kicking off our email list, as you say, with our remit, as well as a document that has been recirculated that is sort of a checklist or scorecard of the outcome of various meetings and questions relating to the remit before DT-IPR. I think our next order of business will be a doodle poll to have find the time for a meeting amongst our group. I would say that it is not too late to join the group if you are interested and haven't done so yet, as you can tell. You would still be getting in on the ground floor. Other than that, quickly, nothing to report, but I do expect to get a doodle poll out today and to schedule a call either probably not for late this week, since it's already late this week, but very early next week, and to rapidly make up ground. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. We obviously look forward to that group making some progress, and I guess I should reiterate from the chair's point of view our commitment to coordinating this with the other operational communities and making sure that our work is known and understood, and that the coordination goes in both directions, and in fact, as a starting point, we'll take any prior materials as input into this DT-IPR. Let's move on then, and on the SLEs, there is work going on in the background, and I think our intention is for Lisa and myself to ensure that the staff working on that, either through the implementation team or directly, are able to update us on a regular basis, in other words, as and when we have these meetings, so we can be sure that the work is being is on track and in progress. So that's our intention. Paul did give an update of a meeting that he had in his capacity as team lead, together with the co-chairs and key staff working on that, including the implementation project management people. Paul, feel free to add to that or comment on that as you like. And Olivier, I see your hand is up, so go ahead with any comment or question you would like to make.
Uh, Jonathan, it's Olivier. Did you call upon me or Paul?
I called upon you since your hand was up, and we'll come to Paul next since his hand is up, or you may defer to him if you prefer.
Okay, thanks very much, Jonathan. Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking. Just a question. I have seen there is some movement at the moment in other operational communities to define their SLEs or A's. I can't remember by offhand. But is there any cross-pollination between their work and the work that Paul is doing? Thank you. And I realize, of course, they are pertaining to different things. I mean, the protocol parameters and IP addresses, but I didn't know whether there were common SLEs between them. Thank you.
So a quick response, and then I'll hand over to Paul. To the best of my knowledge, there's no sort of formal coordination. And just to be clear, I think Paul is not actively doing any work at this stage. The work is in the hands of the ICANN staff working on preparation for the new SLEs. And so we'll be seeking updates from staff rather than Paul or the former DTSLE. Paul, come in if you would like to add a thing, and I see Trang, your hand is up as well, so we'll come to you next. Paul, go ahead if you still want to make a point.
I will be very brief, if I may. So, yes, just to for those that weren't in Dublin, we had a very useful meeting with Trang, Akram, David Conrad, and the co-chairs of the CWG. In summary, the intent to NTIA approval was to use historical log data to ascertain the performance of the IANA, and from that log data be able to fulfill about 80%, possibly 80%, of the SLE thresholds, and so we can start populating that once the data is available. It was a very constructive meeting. With respect to how the naming communities SLE, SLA relates to the numbers and the protocols, there is, because the functions that IANA deliver is different, each group has actually asked for their own SLE, SLA from ICANN. Some groups are still finalizing it, but there is little overlap between the naming numbers and protocols service level expectation requirements. But I would welcome Trang's update with respect to how things are progressing, and just build on what Jonathan said. I think it would be useful to hear from staff on a regular basis as to how matters are progressing with the implementation of the SLE requirements, mainly because the working group members are willing to take the data and to do the heavy lifting between now and whenever the thresholds can be determined based on past performance. So thank you, John, for the opportunity, and I'm happy to take questions from any CWG member or any member of the community. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. So we will do that if anyone wants to say anything, and I'll hand over to Trang now. Trang, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
It's a little soft, Trang, so if you can modify mic volume or speak close to the mic, that would be great, but we do hear you.
Terrific. Let me change the volume, and hopefully that will help. Thank you, Paul. Yes, we'll be happy to provide an update on these CWG calls moving forward with regards to progress on the SLE front. Since Dublin, we have started to take a look at the data that and figuring out how we would go about parsing that data out and providing you with the data that we had talked about in Dublin. Separately, we have also had some informal conversations with NTIA to gauge whether or not they would be willing to allow us to release that data. And they have not objected to it. They did request that we file with them a formal request so that they can go through their process of review and then providing a formal approval. So we're in that process of drafting that formal request to NTIA, and once we have NTIA's approval, we will communicate that. So that's the status of our work since Dublin on the SLE front.
Thanks, Trang. That's helpful, and we obviously look forward to further updates from you on the SLE work and on any other implementation-related matters so we can continue to work with you in that respect. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Trang. So what's the status of the other 20% of the data that may be needed for finalizing the SLEs? What is the plan with regard to that?
Jonathan, did you want me to...
If I may... Okay. Sorry, either of us actually, Trang, if you want to take it first. Yeah, sure.
Sure, thanks, Paul. So my understanding is that what we had talked about in Dublin was the first part of the work is to identify what data are we currently collecting and what percentage of that data addresses what percentage of the SLEs that have been defined. The remaining, presumably 20% of SLE, will require code changes to the RZMS. So once we define what that 20 or whatever percentage that ends up being, then we can have a further discussion with the CWG and others as to the timing of that of the coding changes to the RZMS that would be required. Yeah. Paul, is that your understanding? Common understanding?
So yes, indeed, that is my understanding. And just Chuck, to build on your point, the SLE document was quite comprehensive, and what we've tried to do is break it down in to two segments. That elements that are easy to obtain based on historical information, and what is needed going forward to fulfil the CWG's requirements. As Trang indicates, there may be some code changes necessary. And that may happen later. It is intended come April 2016, all of the SLE data capture mechanisms will be there. But what we're trying to do is simplify the process and actually enable much of the work, 80% of the work, to take place between now and April, with the data capture of the 20% or whatever percent it is taking place post-April, mainly because they are not as significant in terms of actually determining the user experience. They're important, but not as significant. So the idea was to use the historical data to cover the main body of work and then mop up the more outliers, as it were, post-April. But thank you for the question, Chuck.
Okay, good. Thanks, Paul and Trang. Trang, your hand is still up. Did you want to come back again on that? Okay, good. So that seems like we've got a good position there and understand where we are with the SLE-related work. So that's helpful. I think that brings us to the end of item two, and we can move then on to item three, which really talks about, which touches on, gives the opportunity to discuss what may happen with respect to the work of the CCWG and the ICG. I think it's clear there that ultimately the ICG will await our satisfaction that our or certification that our dependencies have been met by the work of the CCWG. And the issue there for us is how will we do that? Lisa and I have discussed this, and our view is that there's really a twofold process that needs to take place. And so I'd like to record that with the group and see if you have any concerns or issues with that and make sure that everyone's comfortable with that. It's now become clear that the CCWG on accountability will run another public comment period with the latest variation of their proposal, including the various elements of that and the ultimate accountability and associated model. So what we believe is necessary to do or will be necessary to do will be to communicate into the public comment period and indicate that the proposal as drafted for public comment either meets or doesn't meet our requirements, and if especially if not, why not? I think they anticipate, and it would be it's reasonable given the correspondence we've had to date, that it should meet our requirements. And so it's my anticipation that we will be writing to say it does meet our requirements. But of course, I don't want to preempt what does come out in that final proposal. But that's the current expectation. And then, assuming that proposal isn't materially modified via the public comment input, we would then be in a position to certify to the CCWG that it meets our proposal, meets our requirements. I expect then that we can communicate that same or copy the ICG on that, so the ICG will know that that's the case, which will then, as we understand it, free up the ICG to be able to submit their composite proposal, knowing that they've done their work and the dependency issues are met. And that will also then empower the chartering organizations to deal with the work of the CCWG unimpeded by concerns over whether or not our requirements have met. Clearly, the chartering organizations will assess the accountability work in the round, you know, in the whole, and will not only concern themselves with whether or not our dependencies have been met, but we will need to be clear on that point. And I can, so that's our proposed route. In summary, we communicate during the public comment period, we communicate on the final proposal, and we copy the ICG and probably the chartering organizations as well. So everyone's clear as and when our dependencies are met. And that feels like the process. And so we just want to update you on the chair's thinking on that and see if there are any comments or issues relating to that. And I'll pause to see if there are. And a few hands have appeared, so let's go first to Martin Boyle. Go ahead, Martin.
Thanks, Jonathan. Martin Boyle here. That certainly sounds like a cunning plan. I suppose my only sort of question is whether, bearing in mind the CCWG proposal, becomes then an integral part of the CWG transition plan, whether you actually do need to wait until you get chartering organizations' approval to you that they accept the CWG's recommendation that it does. I'm sorry, that ended up being more convoluted than I meant, but it's whether the CWG can make the decision by itself or whether we have to at least consult the chartering organizations and wait for the chartering organizations to respond.
Thanks, Martin. I think I see the logical point there. I suppose technically, really, that feels to me like in the logical process, we would communicate to the CCWG on accountability and indeed the chartering organizations that it was our belief that and understanding that our conditions had been met. I think the opportunity for the chartering organizations to object to or question that it would be when they approve or not the accountability proposal. So I wouldn't expect we would go independently to them, but I think there is a logical conclusion to the whole point, to the sort of circle of activity that I think I see your point on. And so that's something to bear in mind. May even benefit from an update to a sort of flow chart of the process. So that's something we could look at. Let's take that as an action to look at piece of communications on this as to how, in terms of timelines and activity, how this all works. Paul Kane, go ahead.
So thank you, Jonathan. I have a confession. I have not read the latest CWG proposal. But I did attend the Dublin briefing, which was very useful from the co-chairs, and I did raise this point at that meeting. And it's really pertaining to what enforcement mechanisms the community, the naming community, has with respect to the separation of the PTI or the IANA functions operator from ICANN. Bearing in mind the escalation mechanisms within the CWG proposals already make provision for ICANN to have numerous opportunities for their staff, the PTI staff, to correct anything that is deemed to be catastrophic. My fear in the presentation that was given was that it could become a protracted affair. At a time of crisis, one doesn't want to be going through effectively trying to determine how separation occurs. Otherwise, that delays things, and if there is a catastrophic failure, then it would be just exacerbating the problem. Further, if ICANN themselves decide they don't wish to be running the IANA functions operator anymore, the PTI anymore, there needs to be a well-defined path specified, and I think that is actually missing in the CCWG proposal, and thank you, Grace, for the correction. It didn't mean the CCWG. And so I would invite greater clarification on making sure that if it is deemed separation should occur, either triggered by ICANN or indeed triggered by the community, that it is actually undertaken very efficiently so there is no disruption to the registry community as they seek to have entries in the root zone. Thank you.
That's a really good point, Paul. I mean, I think that this, in a sense, there's two different points there. There will inevitably be a tension between the efficiency with which a process like that takes place and the due care. But in any event, what probably is required is another piece of communication or articulation which wasn't fully possible and isn't until the CCWG's proposal settles. But it feels to me like we should certainly be looking into something which summarizes and encapsulates how that takes place. Where I saw a separate point in your statement was the point around, or your points was operational continuity. And that's, whilst they connected, it's almost what one really needs to be guaranteed in all circumstances is that service is resumed regardless of what's going on in the background. So that's a good point. Eduardo?
Thank you, Jonathan. I think the process that you just mentioned, I think it's a logical process, and I think it's very good. My concern is about timing, what I want to say is that, you know, some of us are very involved in the CCWG work. And I would suggest that instead of waiting for the comment time frame to start, you know, as soon as we have something that we think that is going to be come out in the comment period, that we should get that and discuss it within here, because I don't think we should wait until the comment period to say we don't agree with that. We should discuss it and even if we can do it before, we have a chance here to look at what's going to be put out before it starts. Thank you.
Thanks, Eduardo, and I'll just note Matthew Shear's comment in the chat indicating that there is some discussion in the CCWG list about the interaction between the work of the CCWG and what was DTL in our group and how those correspond. Greg? Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Jonathan. That was actually going to mention the same thing as Matthew, which is Jordan Carter, one of the rapporteurs in CCWG, did indeed kick off a conversation regarding essentially the end stages of our own DTL process and the Annex L, which details that. Would suggest that those of us who are on both lists keep a very active eye on that and participate in that conversation. If there are concerns, better to raise them now while the draft is still kind of open for business than to wait a number of weeks into the comment period to bring these things up. As it stands now, I think the goal of the CCWG is to try to carry out faithfully what we've outlined in our report in Annex L to that. But it is a multi-stage process, and when we designed it, it was intentionally a multi-stage process involving board, SOAC approval and board approval and community mechanism approval at two different stages, both the beginning and the end of a SQUIG process, and then that only comes after the IFR process, which, while it does not require board approval, does require GNSO and CCNSO approval to kick off an IFR, with a special IFR that's not a periodic one that, kicks off by the calendar. And given the single designator approach seems to be settled on, the solutions to the board not doing what we think it should do and voting differently than the community are outlined in our report, which are basically to treat it like a piece of policy development recommendation that's been brought to the board by supermajority. And only after that would there be recourse to other methodologies such as a request for reconsideration or a arbitration under the plan or filling all or part of the board. That's where things are in a nutshell. If we think that there needs to be some sort of trapdoor or panic button built in, then I think we need to talk about that. And just to point out, it's the IFR process that doesn't require board approval. The beginning of a SQUIG process, which is the separation work and cross-community working group, does require board approval. And then the end result of the SQUIG process, should there be a separation, again requires board approval. Whatever the CWG does, it's hopefully what we ask them to do. If we want something different, well, then that's an interesting question. That's where I see things standing right now. If there's feelings that things need to be somehow different and can be accomplished through the CCWG process, now is really the time to do it, because while this is a real third public comment period, note that it is taking place simultaneously with the documents being sent to the chartering organization for their review and approval. And not that I think that indicates that there will be a high degree of resistance to change as a result of the public comment period, but anything that can be in the document that is going to the SOACs for approval will be much more likely smoothly be adopted than something that comes up only in the public comment period. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And I think that's the point that the co-chairs have made, that of the CCWG on accountability, that if there is any input, given that time is of the essence in the preparation of this, the sooner the better, and ideally not during the public comment, but prior to drafting prior to final drafting of the report for public comment. But that's outside of that. That's certainly, whilst it's relevant and there's a link to this work, that it is really the work of the CCWG and needs to be channeled in through there. All right. I think that's a clear update of where we are in that process and some of the issues that need to be finally kept an eye out for. I'll move then on to item four, which is the work we are undertaking on bylaws. I was, I think Lisa and I were somewhat optimistic that we might be able to give you an update. We have had an update that the work is ongoing on drafting the CWG-specific bylaws. And to remind you that we agreed to instruct Sidley and have done so via the client committee to ensure that Sidley draft those bylaws that pertain specifically to the work of the CWG and Sidley are undertaking that work. They gave us a 2 to 3 week estimate, probably a little, we might be just outside that 3 week window now. I think we were expecting that a draft might come out this week, possibly before this call. It hasn't, to the best of my knowledge. And so that's really something that's work in progress, and we'll just have to update you next. I'm trying to think what this point of on CWG review was, drawing a little bit of a blank on this one. Maybe someone can remind me from staff, if anyone's aware of this, what was the intention behind this point.
So, Jonathan, this is Grace. I think the idea here was just to discuss the process for when those bylaws are drafted, how the CWG would review them, and then submit them for implementation.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. It's CWG review of bylaws. That's why I'm missing the – yeah, it's not review of CWG, review of bylaws. Yes, so at some point we will have to look at those and systematically go through them and make sure that those bylaws are, again, consistent with what we intended prior to them going to ICANN. There's no point in them going across to ICANN and then us saying they were not what was intended. So we will need to go through those systematically. I expect what we'll want to see is see the draft, get Sidley present us that, and then look at systematically when and if there are concerns with those. So I think that really covers the work that we intended to somewhat neatly within an hour, unless there are other points. I made the initial remarks about the upcoming meeting schedule, the fact that we plan to schedule meetings every 2 weeks, and we will do our best to populate those with either meaningful work or not run those meetings at all. We have no intention of running meetings that aren't required, and we'll keep them short if possible as well. Are there any other points that anyone would like to make now under AOB prior to us bringing the meeting to a close? Okay, so I note in the chat there's ongoing discussion around how to handle this ultimate separation process and make sure it's the CWG and CCWG work is consistent. I'm sure that will track online during the email as well, the CWG's and CCWG's mailing list. I know Greg points that it makes an interesting suggestion about whether there's any kind of some sort of Ibero backup for IANA that maybe in the form of I don't know if that's financial or operational, but one way or another, service continuity is clearly vital, and that's something that might be worth picking up as a thread. It effectively was raised earlier by Paul, and they picked it up in a sense there. So that's something to think about in the background. All right, if there are no other hands, we'll be meeting in a couple of weeks' time. We'll be picking up the work of on implementation. There'll be those communications to be made, the work of the DTO, DTIPR in particular, and Matthew suggests that we consider adding the issue to the next call. The issue there being, Matthew, the one of integration of the separation points in and around. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Yes. Well, I mean, it's effectively there anyway in one sense under the broad banner of CCWG. But yes, let's see where that's developed, and we'll review whether what progress has been made in the meantime at the next meeting. Good. Well, that's an efficient call. Thank you all again, especially those for whom this is a very early call. Let's see where we go next time with attendance at the later time and outside of hopefully a clash with other meetings. Thank you again, and we'll see you shortly at the next meeting and via the email list or lists as necessary. With that, staff, we can stop the recording and bring on.
Thank you. Bye.